I won't read scripture as we start this morning. Wait for it. Oh, it didn't squeak. Oh, good. But you'll hear scripture throughout the message today. For the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the power of story and the significance that stories have in our lives. We began with the story, telling God's story, and learning in that attempt that God is creator of all that existed, including you and me, and that God is the lover of our souls and the eternal pursuer in our lives, the great transformer. 2 weeks ago, we talked about their story, and they being those who have not yet been able to hear God's story of his love for them in ways they could understand and receive that for themselves. And so they live lives, struggling with all the pressures of life that everybody knows, but without any sense of help and hope, living isolated and alone. And we were reminded that until we had heard God's story in a way we could receive it and embrace it for ourselves, our story was their story, too. Last Sunday, we talked about our story as the Church of Jesus Christ throughout history and as the church, this church in particular, as Fish United Methodist Church, and ways in which the things that we do share our story with those who are still in their story, who don't yet know the good things, the gift of God. As we connect and interconnect, we weave our lives, our stories, into theirs through ministries. And we named off a myriad of ministries last Sundays in ways that we're able to come together with those who need hope. And that we do that through our efforts together and God's empowering, so they can see a bit of God's story through us. Well, today we come to telling our story, your story rather, yours in particular, yours personally and mine personally. And it's interesting how different that feels. You know, we can talk about God's story and talk about their story and our story corporately, and we can see those things and hold them out here as some kind of intellectual proposition, and we can work with them. But then it comes down to telling your story in your life and my story in my life, and that becomes real, and we become a little more uncomfortable, a little more unsure how to do that, a little more even unsure as to whether or not our stories individually, my story, your story, matter, and how they impact other people's lives. And so we come today to wrestle with what it means to be those who are called to tell, you tell your story, me to tell mine. Last week, we listened in as Jesus was talking with the disciples, and he asked them a question, and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He asked them to tell his story as they understood it. And he asks us the same question as well. We found that the answer we give to that question determines how we will live out our lives telling our own stories personally. Well, let's turn it around a little bit. And if Jesus was asking them and us to answer the question and tell his story, what do you think God would say if he tried to tell your story? How would God tell your story, who you are in relationship to him, what he feels for you, what he hopes for you, what he needs from you? As you think about how God would tell your story in your life and my story in my life, we find throughout the Bible, God's doing it again and again and again and again. Let me share with you just a few glimpses of how God would tell your story. If God were telling your story, he would use Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16, when he says there, "Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born?" Well, the answer obviously is no, but he goes on, "But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Look, I have written your names on the palms of my hand. I will never forget you. You're precious to me. I've tattooed your name on my hand. You're a part of my being." If God were to tell your story, he would use Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, when he says to Joshua and through Joshua to us, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." He says to you as he tells your story, "I'll always be here giving you strength and courage. I will never leave you alone." If God were telling your story, he would use 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where it says there, "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that he would call us the sons and daughters of God, for that is who we are." In telling your story about you, he says, "You are my son, you are my daughter. I love you and pour out the love only a doting father can. Make no mistake, you're my child." As God tells your story, God would use Isaiah 43, the first three verses, where he says, "But now listen to the Lord who created you, the one who formed you. He says, 'Don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.'" He says to you as he tells your story, "You are redeemed. I have paid a ransom for you. I have paid a price to get you back where you belong. You're free. You belong to me." When you go through life's hardest places, and notice the word is when, not if. God's realist enough to know. When you go through life's hardest places, I'll be with you. I will empower you, I will protect you, and I will carry you through. As God tells your story, not mine, yours, he used Psalm 91, verse 1. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." He says, "You are safe under my protection, so be at rest." As God tells your story, he would use, without doubt, Psalm 139, the first several verses, as David has written, "O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know me, everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts, and even when I'm far away, you see me and when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do." As God tells your story through that verse, those verses, he was saying, "I know you intimately. I have a plan for your life that was in place before you were born." As God tells your story, he would undoubtedly use Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, "God is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." In your story, he's saying, "In me, you are forgiven and set free." God would, without doubt, we know the verse so well, so he knows it even better, John 3:16. As he tells your story, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." You've been given eternal life. We've talked about our losing Pat Taylor this morning. And we've heard the surprises, the oohs in the room. And we've heard folks talking about it. And we miss her. We love her. But we needn't use past tense language. Not that she was a wonderful lady. She is, and she is where she belongs, where God made her to be in the first place, and she receives now the gift for which she has sought and lived her whole life here. I take really seriously when it says in Hebrews 12, 1, "Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," those witnesses of those who come before us now include Pat Taylor, who's watching you. In joy and in compassion, encouragement, saying, "Come on, it's still your turn. I got a place for you when it's time, because God's given it to you." We have this certainty that in God telling your story that you've been given eternal life. As God tells your story, he would use Romans chapter 8, verse 1, as he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus." I don't condemn you. Who else can? You're free from a burden of guilt. He would use 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. You're brand new. Your baggage is gone, so let go of it. As God tells your story, he would use Luke 15, the entire chapter. There are three stories there, but the first one's about sheep. And he said, if a man has 100 sheep and he loses one in the wilderness, won't he take the 99 and protect them somewhere safe and go out to seek the one? And as he does and finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and joyfully carries it home and calls his family and his friends. And he says, come and celebrate me with me because I found my lost sheep. And he says, and that's what it is in heaven. There's more celebration in heaven over one lost, repentant sinner who's come home than over the 99 who've never strayed. What God's saying to you as he tells your story with that scripture is you. You, and he calls you by name. You. You are the reason for my party. You are the reason that I celebrate. As God tells your story, he undoubtedly uses Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, when he talks about the fact that you are salt of the earth and light of the world, a city like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. He's saying, in me, you can impact the world. Salt preserves and light shines the way in the darkness for those who are lost, trying to find their way. As God tells your story, he would use Acts 1, verse 8. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. From your hometown to the ends of the earth. He's saying, for your story, you will, in my power, you'll be empowered to be my witnesses. Tell others that I love them and what I've done for them and show them by the way you've experienced that in your life. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, God would use those to tell your story, and he would say, as Paul writes, I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I love that, that God grabs hold of us and draws us to him, to what we can become. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. God's telling the story of your life, saying, everything has come before this thing is nothing compared to what I have now. Push it away and use all your energy to reach forward. Whether you are brand new in this world or whether you've become a seasoned saint or anywhere in between. Reaching forward for that which Christ, which God has reached to get a hold of you through Jesus Christ. And if God were to tell your story, he would use Galatians 2:20. And if you want to write anything down to take home today, write that one down, Galatians 2:20. There Paul writes, and this is not the version I like best, but there Paul writes, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am no longer on my own, in my own identity, as Christ has died for me and I have received that and I lean forward toward that, as he says in that other scripture, then everything I do is in that dynamic, in that context, and I'm living to allow him to live in me so that everywhere I go, every person that I touch, everything that I do is him living through me, going, touching, doing. And I'm not the one who matters there. It's him in me. Friends, that's my aspiration in my life. And I don't quite get it all the time. That's what gets me excited. I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. But Jesus Christ lives in me for his purposes to touch others in their story with his story through my story. And the list goes on and on and on and on. There are thousands upon thousands and upon thousands of scriptures in the Bible that would tell you, if God were to tell your story, what it is that he believes about you, how he feels about you, what he's done for you, what he wants for you, what he wants to be able to do in and through you. If you listen to all those things and you take them and try to picture them together, that you are precious, you've been bought back with a price because he loves you and holds you dear, that you have been forgiven, that you will never be left alone, that you will have the strength you need, that God has said you can impact the world and light the way, that and it goes on and on. Do you believe? Does it surprise you God feels that way about you? Good. Many of us would say, how in the world could he? Because I don't like me. I'm not sure of me. How can God be so sure of me? Do you believe? Does it surprise you that God sees you in this way, that he tells this story about you? Do you accept God's version? Do you believe they're true? Thank you for that. Let's do that again. Do you accept God's version of your story? Do you believe that it's true what he says about you?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
Good. Remember that on Tuesday when something difficult happens, that you are dear to him, that you're no stranger to him, that nothing you can think or do or have done to you is beyond what he's already aware of is going to happen with you and will give you the strength to make it through that and to be an effective part in that, for God to use that in your story to touch somebody else's story. So just to be sure, do you believe God feels that way about you?
Yes.
Thank you. So do you know that's your story, and are you living it out? I can say I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I can say that, and I can say it easily and it'll come off my tongue, but do I live it that way? Am I letting my story, are you letting your story be told through the things that you do? In the life that you live, are you becoming the person your story claims you to be? Remember what we said last week, we live out what we believe. So saying the right things on Sunday morning is a great place to start, but if they don't follow through on Tuesday, and I'm not picking on Tuesday, if they don't follow through on Thursday afternoon, then are we really? Because we live out what we believe. If we're all nice and polished up here on Sunday, but we go and we think poorly of someone else in a transaction or anything else we do, if we treat them less than we should as to their infinite worth as God's child, are we living out the story God tells about us in our lives? I saw a sign the other day that I thought was pretty good. Kind of breaks it down. It says, sometimes the best evangelism is telling somebody you're a Christian and then not being a jerk. Are we living out what we say we believe? It doesn't matter. Does it matter if we live out our story? If it does, then why does it matter? What matters is because there are people who are literally struggling for hope and for connection. As you can give them as you tell your story, as you live your life toward them. In fact, some are actually dying to hear it. And no one has the authority to tell your story but you. Literally. Biography is one thing. Autobiography is something else. Only one person who ever existed has the authority to tell your story from the inside out, and that's you. And then as God has empowered and made it clear to you who you are, that begins to be informed in your story. Last week I had a chance in thinking about how stories connect us to each other, I had a chance to hear two young mothers of the congregation talking about the struggles our recent time change has caused them in their children's sleeping habits, or now unchanged sleeping habits, even though the time has changed. One was talking of her struggle, and the other said, "I know, right?" The first mother chimed up again and started talking about other related issues, and the second one says, "Exactly! I've seen it in my kids." It amazed her that it was the same story for her. And there's a third issue shared by mom, letter A, mom A versus mom B. And this time it was almost comical to see the surprise on both their faces as they decided they might even be raising the same child in different bodies. And as mom A shared, almost accidentally, as mom A shared incidentally her story with mom B, community was formed. Think of how much deeper that connection will be as they continue to get to know each other better, as they find encouragement and share in the common struggles together, and how much deeper still when our real story is shared, the story of what God has done for us, you and your life, me and my life, as we struggle before we knew God and as we experience God's grace and power now. Your story does matter. Someone right here, right now, needs to hear it and find hope. Some of you will remember that about 6 weeks ago, I came one Sunday morning as I was sharing with you. I came sharing about the need for hope, and that was the week that we had the story that you were told was forced upon you, because it was forced upon me when our grandson decided to go AWOL from family. Just took off on a Friday night. Never done it before. We didn't know anything about it at all. Didn't know why. We thought maybe he was just lost, period, gone. As we shared that struggle, you came around us. And you came around us and you prayed over me for our family and the services, and we felt your support and your encouragement. But beyond that, in the days to come, people came to me again and again and again, different people saying, "Your story is my story. We lost our son for 4 weeks and didn't know a word about where he was. Our daughter was gone for such and such a time. A grandchild or a nephew or a niece." And in you sharing your story, you gave us hope. Does your story matter? Friends, I can tell you the answer is yes. It matters because as you tell your story, as you live your life, it connects with mine. And it draws us together. St. Augustine, church father, way, way, way back, and if you want to know exactly those dates, we have our more recent seminary scholar. He could tell you those dates. I just know that he was retired before I started, so he had to be old. He writes this: "God became a man for this purpose. Since you, a human being, cannot understand God, but you can understand other humans, you might now be able to understand God through a person. And so the man Jesus Christ became the mediator of God through human beings. And God became a person so that in following a person, something you can do, you might follow God. And as you share your stories, others might see him and follow him too." as you invest in the congregation's ministries, the things that we do together through your personal involvement, the time you spend in volunteer ministries, of the support you do through the foods for our food pantry, or the giving you give financially for all the ministries we talked about last week, as you are so invested in the things that we do and they continue to be done with excellence and they grow as we support them, you're telling your story. Others will hear it as it connects with theirs and look not at you and look not at us, but look through us to God and his story. Because you see, we're talking about your story today. That's true. But we began with God's story, and every story since has its beginning in God's story and its completion in God's story. God has used and is using your story to touch others in a way they can know his story, to invite them home.